Good morning, everyone. Yesterday, just a rock throw from here, there was another attempt by our enemies to destroy us. And I want to be very, very clear for all those listening that they weren't trying to destroy a specific person, nor were they trying to kill soldiers. They were trying to kill Jews because they're Jews, and that's the only reason they were trying to kill them. Their hate was so great that they even go on and do things that are stupid. Because if you think about it, if there's these big rock boulders that block people from the road trying to come onto the sidewalk, why would a guy smash through the boulders, even though he can't? Obviously, he's not going to get very far. And thank God he only injured people very lightly. The answer, of course, is because he's full of hate. And when you're full of hate, you do things that unfortunately make no sense. And that's exactly what's happening now here in Israel. And I want to remind everyone listening of a halacha that I think we have to do, not only because this happened a rock throw from here, but because, quite frankly, it's happening everywhere. And for the last few weeks, we've been in a very hard situation. And the question is there anything we can do, non-military, regular residents of Israel, sitting here on a beautiful morning, at least in terms of the weather, what can we do? What can we do? So there is an interesting halacha that's brought down in Maseches Tainis. Maseches Tainis deals, of course, with what?
Fast
days. What kind of fast days?
Communal.
Communal. What do you mean, communal?
Saras, things that affect the community.
Things that are ad hoc fast days. In other words, when there are actual acute tzaros to the Jewish community, then ultimately you call a fast day, because the Rambam says at the beginning of Hilchot Ta'aniyot, Perek Aleph, that Mida Oraisa, you're supposed to pray to God and use the Chatzrosrot when there's a terrible tragedy. And Midivrei Sofrim, says the Rambam, you're supposed to fast. So Maseches Tainis, by and large, deals with these ad hoc fast days because of acute problems that are happening. And within the discussion, it says the following words. It talks about the fact that there's a terrible situation, and this is what happens. Bizman Shat Sibur, the Gemara says the following. Tana Rabbanan. It's talking about terrible situations like a drought in Israel. People are starving. Can you just, because you have food, have a good time. Continue with your life. Tana Rabbanan. Our rabbis taught. Bizman Yisrael Shirin Bitzar. Everyone's suffering, and one person sort of separates himself from everyone's suffering, and he has a nice big barbecue, and he drinks, and women, and dines. Paim Shnei Malachei Asharet. Two angels come, Shemelavin Lo La'adam, that actually follow the person. We remember this concept usually from where? Two angels following a person, as we learned in kindergarten, primary, preschool, from Shabbat. So these two angels come, and they put their hands on his head. This person that separated himself from the vast majority of the Jewish people should not have the privilege of going ahead and seeing the comfort that God will give when things come back. Tanya Idach, another source. Bizmancha Tzibur Shari Bitzar, when people are suffering, not just a person, but the community like we are now in Israel. Al Yomar Adam, a person should not say, Elech Veveiti, I'll go to my house, Vochel Veshten, I'll eat and I'll drink. Veshalom Alayich Nafshi. And I'm all right. They're trying to kill Jews and stabbing them, but I stay home, I work from home, so I don't have any danger to me, so I'm all right. So I'm going to continue to do everything I usually do, and I'm not going to feel anything, and I'm not going to change anything, because shalom alayich nafshi, I have peace to my soul. I'm all right, says the Gemara, v'imoseken, and if he does it, alava katuv omer, quoting a pasuk, that the terrible things will happen. And where does the Gemara learn it from? From Moshe Rabbeinu. Ela yitzarer adam matzibor. person should feel bad together with the vast majority of the Jewish people. Shekem asinu v'Moshe Rabbeinu. Because we saw this exact kind of behavior with Moshe Rabbeinu. What did Moshe do? Shetzira atzmo. Imatzibur. Sheneemar. V'yedei Moshe kvedim. V'yikhu even v'yasimu tachta v'yeshev alea. Anyone recognize the pasuk? We read it twice a year, so you should recognize it, Bruce. If you read it once, I can't go ahead and blame you. You read it twice already and you don't know it by heart, we got yourself a problem. No, v'yedei Moshe kvidim, and Moshe's hands are heavy. V'yikhu even, they take a rock, v'yasimu tachta, v'yeshev alea. They're battling a Molech. We read it in Parshat B'Shalach. And then we read it on Purim. So Aaron and Hur help him in order to keep his hands up. Because we all know that when his hands were up, the Jewish people won. And when he put his hands down, the Jewish people began to lose. So says the Pasuk that Moshe's hands began to be heavy. So they took a rock and they let him sit down on the rock. So the Gemara has a very interesting read on this. I thought, every time I read it for my whole life, why'd they take a rock? Think about a teyul. You're in the middle of a teyul, and you want to sit down. So what do you sit down on? There happens to be couches and chairs and lounge chairs. There's rocks, so you sit down on a rock. So the Gemara says the following. Chazal had a different understanding. Listen carefully. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a pillow or a couch to sit on. I mean, the Jewish people, they're encamping in the desert. And because they're encamping, I'm sure there were beds or something like beds that they slept in. No one slept on the ground every night. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the reason the Jewish people are winning a Molech. They couldn't give him a nice chair to sit on. He has to sit on a rock. I never even thought of this. Never had an assumption like this. It's like very interesting how Chazal read a pasuk in Chumash. They said, you know, the Jewish people have tents and they have an encampment. They couldn't give him a nice chair to sit on.
But they're out on the battlefield. They didn't take their pillows with them. Everyone is.
No, as they're battling, someone brings him a pillow or blanket or chair. Ella says the Gemara, Kach Amar Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ho'il v'Yisrael shuyin b'tzar, because the Jewish people are suffering, afani yeh mahem b'tzar. And I'm going to be together suffering with them. I'm not going to sit on a comfortable pillow or a comfortable couch when the Jewish people are fighting for their lives. And the Gemara goes on and on and on about this issue. That's one Gemara. According to this Gemara, if we ended here, obviously, the answer is we have to all feel terrible and awful. We can't continue with our lives like we used to because things are terribly happening right now in the state of Israel and the land of the Jewish people. So we have to stop. I don't know what it might mean to feel terrible with the Tzibor, but obviously we have to do something.
If people would have a sense of plans that could be rescheduled, should they do?
No, according to this Gemara only, you would say maybe. But when you learn Chazal, when you learn the words of our sages in the Gemara, you can't quote one Gemara and say, oh, this is the halacha, have a good night. That's people that are lazy. That are people that are a little intellectually dishonest. And in my humble opinion, when you learn Gemara, you have to ask yourself, is there any other sources we have that maybe say otherwise? And the truth is, there are many other sources, and I just want to quote one. At the end of the third perek of Beseches Baba Basra, Daf Samech, Amud Bet 60b, the Gemara talks about the aftermath of a very huge tragedy that happened to the Jewish people. What was a huge tragedy? Take a wild guess. Korban Beit HaMikdash, of course. Tana Rabban and our sages said, this is what happened. After the Korban Beit HaMikdash, the second one, and we all know the second one is worse than the first one for two reasons. First of all, when it existed, it wasn't the best. And second of all, when it was destroyed, it was not rebuilt 70 years later. It was a long, 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 long gullus. So says the Gemara, after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabu Prushin B'Yisrael, certain Jews called Prushin became bitter, separatists in the Jewish people, became more and more, Shalol Echol Barsar V'Shalol Yishtot Yayin. They decided they're not going to eat meat and not going to drink wine. Nitpala and Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Yoshua reprimanded them. And what does Rabbi Yoshua say? He basically says to them, Why aren't you eating meat and drinking wine? They said, how can we do that? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Every day there was korbanos brought from meat. And there was wine libations. So how can we today, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, just continue eating meat and drinking wine? So Rabbi Yeshua decided to give it to them. He says, well, why do you stop there? What did we do in Sukkot?
No water.
Nisuach HaMayim, so don't drink water. No water. Whoa, don't drink water. Now you're already getting too far, no? Don't drink water. He goes on and on. There's korbanos from animals. There's also korbanos from
mincha,
flour. So maybe we shouldn't eat cake. We shouldn't eat cookies. We shouldn't have noodle. Anything. So says Rabbi Yeshua, that's not the way to go. What's the way to go? I quote his words. Shaloli tabel kol ikar yifshar. Not to mourn at all, we can't. There's no Beis HaMikdash. There's many, many, many mitzvos in the Torah we're not doing right now because there's no Beis HaMikdash. We can't just continue our life saying, I'm all right, there's a Seder, that's beautiful, my Sukkah was wonderful, Shavuos is even better. Every one of those holidays are missing something. Says the Gemara, not to mourn is impossible. Shekvar nigzera gzera. Because there is a terrible edict against us. No Beis HaMikdash. Uli hitabel yoter midai yivshar, but you can't overmourn either, because you wouldn't drink me, you wouldn't drink water even. Shein gozrin gzera la tzibur, elim kenet yorov tzibur yechol al modba. Rather, says the Gemara, when you build a house, you live a little place open that you don't paint. That's called a, we leisurely call the zecher lechorban. Then the Gemara goes on and says that when you set your table or you make a meal, you leave out something. You leave out a course, you leave out something on the table. In other words, what does this Gemara say? We have to feel bad. But you can't stop your life. What you have to do is diminish a bit from what you usually do. So if you usually paint the house perfect, you make it a bit less perfect. Amma al amma. One amma by one amma. When you set the table and everything looks gorgeous, you leave out a bit. Because there's no Beis HaMikdash. And in my humble opinion, putting these two Gemaras together, I believe that's what we need to do now. On the one hand, we cannot give our enemies any sort of victory, or additional victory, by stopping our lives. That's impossible, because that will only give them all the more reason to hurt us. On the other hand, we can't go ahead and just go on with our lives. So what do? We have to leave something out. You make a barbecue, a little less barbecue sauce. You go ahead and you're planning to have a simcha, I don't think you should cancel it, no. But perhaps appropriate under the chuppah to say a perek of Tehillim, to say a mishaberach l'chayalei tzahal, to do something different that diminishes a bit because things are very, very bad right now. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, we mekayim this halacha every single time we do a wedding, as the Gemara here says. What do?
We step on the glass.
So the glass is a very interesting issue, why we do a glass today. But the Gemara here doesn't talk about a glass necessarily. The Gemara here talks about the following. I'll put Yerushalayim on the top of my simcha. Namely, on the top of my simcha, I'll remember Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, Ze'afar makleb sheberosh chatanim. This is the little dust. If you've ever seen at weddings, sometimes rabbis who learn this Gemara, they take a bunch of ashes and they put it at the place of your tefillin. What's the idea? The groom is obviously handsome and he combed his hair and he looks great. And then you ruin it a bit. You put a little ashes there. There's no Beis HaMikdash. You're in the middle of a simcha. You put a few ashes there. And where do you put it? B'makom tefillin. Shene'emar l'shumid levlei tziyonat pe'er tachat afar. And you go on and on in this Gemara. And basically the Gemara ends with the beautiful statement that we just saw in the other Gemara. That whoever is mourns for Jerusalem properly, zochever re'eh b'simchata, is going to be zoche, is going to be privileged to see the joy of Jerusalem. Just like this Gemara says, that if you don't mitza'eret atzmo im atzibor, if you don't make yourself a bit diminished with the people, then you won't see benichmat atzibor, the comfort of the tzibor. And indeed, when you read that Gemara, you understand very well, if you don't feel bad, then when things are great, you don't feel great. If you feel bad, and then the doctor gives you medicine, you feel better, then you say, Baruch Hashem, I feel better today. Yesterday I was terrible, today I'm great. On the other hand, if you don't feel bad, you're not going to feel it when it's better. But take it a step further. If you ultimately don't feel bad because you're not sensitive to what's happening, then you won't be sensitive when things get better. And that's ultimately what I think we need to do. We need to take the Gemara in Baba Basra with the Gemara in Tainis. We need to diminish a little bit from our lives, and we have to go further. If we don't go further, we're giving our enemies a victory, and we'll be totally stifled. We will be stable. We will unfortunately be paralyzed, and that's impossible. We cannot be paralyzed. On the other hand, we have to indeed diminish a bit from our simcha. That's important, and that's vital at this very moment, place, and time. Yeah.
So how do we relate to Tainit, the idea of actual real communal activities on a large scale?
If the rabbis get together and decide that it warrants a fast day, then I think it's absolutely appropriate. I think it's appropriate. I think we all should do what we should do. Obviously, you can take upon yourself a personal fast day. That's not a problem. But if you want to take yourself a communal fast day, we need the rabbis of Israel to get together and say we're making a fast day. The rabbis today have less power than in the past. I'm not so sure everyone's going to listen. Even when there was a drought and there was a fast day called, not everyone listened. So therefore, I'm not so sure everyone's going to listen on this issue. But quite frankly, one thing is for sure. Whether you fast or not, you cannot in any which way continue your lives the way you usually do. And on the other hand, you cannot in any which way totally paralyze yourself and say, no, I'm not doing a thing now because things are awful.
I do know that there's a story that Napoleon saw the Jews sitting and crying on the floor in the synagogue in Paris or something. And he asked, what are they doing? And when he was told, he says, wow, there's 2,000 Jews are sitting still crying? People that could do that will probably see it.
Yeah, it's a famous story about Napoleon. I think it's correct.
In regards to the rabbis not having as much central authority, that's probably the reason why I'm not totally enthused with some rabbis. We probably all know Jews need to open up their own perversion courts in life because it's like,
what did you just say? I didn't hear you, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry. I said in regards to rabbis not having as much
authority.
That's probably the reason why I'm not entirely enthused with some rabbis, perhaps you know them, opening up their own conversion course, because like, yes, what we have, the chief rabbis are not the Sanhedrin, but it is essential government.
Okay, we're getting off topic here. It's totally off topic, but I'll just say the following. We do not have a Sanhedrin today at all. There's a lot of disadvantages without having a central authority. Unfortunately, to date, even though this was the vision, the chief rabbinate of Israel is not a central authority for the majority of Jews even living in Israel. Because let's face reality, the Haredim don't hold from the chief rabbinate, and obviously the non-religious don't hold from the chief rabbinate. And within what's called commonly the religious Zionist camp, there's machloket, do we hold from the chief rabbinate or not? So, maybe that's the vision, maybe we'll get there one day, but at this point, place and time, they are not a central authority. The nafkamina, from what I'm saying, is, of course, what you say about the conversions and opening up your own conversion course or whatever, you could say it's good or it's bad, but one thing you can't say, well, there's a central authority, how do you go against it? Factually, there is no central authority. You can say the conversion course is terrible. You can say their conversion is awful. You can say it's wonderful. Whatever you want to say. But I'm saying, do not say that because there's a central authority, don't go against it. There is no central authority today, unfortunately, in Israel. If there was, I think we would get very, very far in various different halachic issues. But we're not there yet. There are definitely moves to get there. They are wonderful, wonderful, I would say, healthy attempts to get there. We're not there yet. We're far from it, unfortunately, at this moment.
We all just finished looking at Yoel and this awful locust plague.
Yeah.
And it sounds as if when Yoel gives them some kind of, there's no musr other than gather together and daven, and that might have been the musr. So today also I'm wondering if, obviously everything's from Hashem, so all the tzaras here, is it meant, can it be meant to unify, you know, the Jews that are here and around the world, to come together Hopefully we'll do that. But do we see that even happening?
I think when a terrible tragedy happens, just like the Rambam beautifully says, if a person comes out and says it's all coincidental, then he says it's derech achzariyot. I love that term. Derech achzariyot means it's vicious to say that. What do I mean, vicious? What's vicious about it? Because you're saying it's all, you know, coincidental. The Arabs on top, Jews on the bottom, Jews on the top. And all coincidental. When you say it's from God, at least it gives you some comfort. There's a plan here. What the plan is, however, I don't think anyone can go out and say. All we can do is lepashpesh b'maaseinu, as we've said many times, look at ourselves and say, what can we do better? What can we, as a people, personally do better, and then as a community, and then further on? And I believe that what I said this morning is important. Continue with your lives and diminish a bit. That's the way I believe we have to continue until this terrible tragedy ends, and I hope it ends very, very, very soon, and we'll be able to continue building and refurbishing the land of Israel as we've been doing, because that's all we're doing. And if there's certain enemies out there that think we don't have a right to do it, then they should start getting a life, because we have every right in the world to do that. That's where we are right now, and I'm hoping that Be'ezrat Hashem, with God's help, the next time I'm here, I won't be having to speak about this.